This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
While BC is one of the richest provinces in the country, 13.2% of our population lives in poverty, one of the highest in the nation. In March 2016, over 100,000 people in BC used food banks, and almost a third of them were children. We are also the only province that has not adopted a poverty reduction plan. Trish Garner is a community organizer for the BC Poverty Coalition, and she's working to change that. She joins us by phone. Hello, Trish.
Hi, Jim.
What does the wealth distribution in BC look like?
Well, it's big. We've got the biggest gap between rich and poor here in BC. And so what we see is, if you look at the fifths of the population, we see the richest, the wealthiest 20% of our population here in BC have about 75% of the wealth. So if you imagine a wealth pie, that's three quarters of the pie going to them. And then it gets progressively smaller down to the bottom 20% who have no wealth in their hands. They're in debt, on average, about $9,000 to $10,000. So this huge gap. And what, you know, it's not just that this is unfair, it actually has implications for all of us. It's actually less healthy for all of us when we live in an unequal society. We're all impacted by that, whether we're on the poor end or the wealthy end. And it translates into who has power over making change, in effect, who has power over our politics and who has power over our mainstream media.
Tell us a little bit about who the poor people are in our province.
Well, as you say, it's now at a rate of about 13%, so that's about just over 600,000 British Columbians. We know that almost about half of those are working or the children of working parents, so that old mantra, that stereotype of get a job, you know, doesn't work. Most of these folks have a job or two or three, as the case may be, so struggling to get by. It's predominantly, we do see a number of groups that are overrepresented in poverty, so women often face much higher rates of poverty, especially some particular groups like single mothers and single senior women. People of color are overrepresented in that group. Recent immigrants and refugees in particular, our indigenous communities, of course, people with disabilities, queer and transgender folk, temporary farm workers. Like there are these particular sectors that are really making up a lot of that population. But it's also, you know, it's all of our neighbors in our communities. People are really feeling the squeeze these days.
There's a Poverty Mythbusters page on your website. Tell us a bit about, there's a video that describes a man's experience applying for welfare. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that is, I'm lucky to work with this guy in the downtown east side, and he's telling his story about trying to access disability benefits. So he's on basic welfare, and he has a heart condition, and a number of other conditions, osteoporosis, and the list really goes on. And so he's trying to jump through the hoops of get onto disability benefits, just to give him that little bit extra. Not much, but a little bit. So basic welfare is $610 a month here in BC. So he's struggling to survive on that, obviously. You know, that's deeply inadequate. And he's trying to get up to, now it's $983 for people with disabilities. And the hoops that he has to go through are just unbelievable. You know, first of all, it's an online application. I mean, just to get the application form, it's about 96 pages on this online process, which obviously is a huge barrier for people in poverty who don't necessarily have access to computers or don't have that kind of digital literacy. then it's, you know, calling the welfare office. Again, people might not have a phone or have access to a phone. It's getting it signed off, his application signed off by two doctors, which he does, but then the paperwork goes missing in the process somewhere, and he has to start all over again. And, you know, it's years, and he still is not on disability. It really shows what a broken welfare system we have here in BC.
96 pages sounds very daunting. Do applicants even get any assistance in filling out this form, or are they basically on their own?
They're often on their own. What we have seen here in BC is that many of our welfare offices have been closed throughout the province, or their hours have been reduced dramatically. And welfare workers often don't have the time or capacity to help in that situation. And we've seen funding for advocates cut as well, and it was advocates' role to help people go through that process. So no longer a good system of advocates. So yes, often people are on their own doing this unless they're able to find someone to help them. So it really is such a barrier. We're actually seeing a lot of people turn to the library for help with this. So library workers are becoming social workers in effect, which is never what they signed up for or trained for, but you know, it's just a sign of this broken social safety net.
Newfoundland was able to drastically reduce the number of people living in poverty in their province. What can we learn from them?
Yeah, they're a great example because they used to share the worst poverty rate with us, and now they've dramatically reduced poverty and are one of the best in the country. And it was really just a political commitment from the Conservative Premier of the time, made this a priority, brought in number of comprehensive measures within a poverty reduction plan, set targets and timelines to see if they were being successful. And one of the best things that I like about their approach was that they raised welfare for single parents in particular to the poverty line. Nowhere else does this. Everywhere else in Canada, the welfare rate is substantially lower, you know, thousands of dollars lower than the poverty line. They decided to raise it, and for that group, single parents, they reduced food insecurity by 50%. I mean, it's not rocket science. You give people more money, they're able to buy healthier, nutritious food, and you address that problem. But they did a number of other things, like pharmacare, raising the minimum wage, addressing education, a broad suite of things that we could definitely learn from.
So what should a poverty plan look like here in BC, then?
Well, we are advocating for a comprehensive plan that has seven pillars to it, and we've got really broad support for this vision around the province. About 400 organizations have signed on to this. So it includes raising incomes, so it includes raising welfare and disability rates as the first pillar, and raising minimum wage, and also encouraging employers to take up the living wage. And then the rest of it is about these social goods that we all generally believe in, and that's affordable housing, so building more social housing. That's universal childcare, so bringing in the $10 a day childcare plan. And then reinvesting in healthcare and education. And then lastly, but not least, this was really the foundation of the plan, is making sure we have targeted policies for those overrepresented groups I mentioned towards the beginning.
What about education? Would we need to invest in that too?
Yes. Sorry, I meant to mention education. Yeah, all the way across the board. So we're seeing huge discrepancies in schools' ability to fundraise at the moment. So huge inequality in what schools are providing in the K-12 level. So we need to reinvest substantially there. And then post-secondary education and training and apprenticeships. We need to definitely bring tuition fees down. Recently, the government cut programs like adult basic education and English language learner courses. So we definitely need to reinvest there so that people have an opportunity there.
And what would a plan like this cost?
Well, yeah, this is often an argument that we hear. People say, wow, well, this sounds good, but sounds like it's going to cost a lot of money, too much for us as a province. But in fact, we're paying so much more for dealing with the symptoms of poverty, the effects of it. So we're actually paying $8 to $9 billion per year in terms of healthcare costs and criminal justice costs and all sorts of associated costs. And a poverty reduction plan, you know, very comprehensive, just as I described, is only half that at about $4 billion. So it's actually a long-term investment as well as being the morally just thing to do.
I know you're working on making poverty reduction an issue in the BC election in a few months. Tell us about Poverty-Free BC Action Week.
Yeah, so this is one of our, we're doing a lot for the election, and this is one of the big pieces of it. So we're having a big Poverty-Free BC rally on March 4th at the Central Vancouver Public Library and in locations throughout BC. So that's at 12 noon on March 4th at the library there, so I hope people can come and join us there. We really need, this is our opportunity to stand up and say, this is an election issue. We want to know from candidates, are you going to commit to this? From parties, are you going to commit to this? So please come out to support that. And in the week before, we're holding a week of action with each day focused on a pillar of the plan. So starting from February 25th with a focus on good jobs, and what that looks like all the way through the week with a different focus with each day. And it's going to be great, actually. People, the groups involved are coming up with really different things, a film screening on one day or a public forum or a webinar or a creative event. So there's lots going on that week. People want to really dive into what poverty looks like in BC. So people can find out more at povertyfreebc.ca, and I hope everyone can come out and join us.
Along with participating in the Action Week at the end of February and March, what else can people do to support poverty reduction, your plan in BC?
Well, we will be having putting out an election toolkit, which will include questions that people can ask of their candidates around these issues. And also, this time, putting together a special section of the kit which will help people in their communities throughout BC put together all candidates' meetings with a bit of a difference. We're calling them Celebrations of Humanity, and they're going to be focused on storytelling from folks with lived experience of poverty, and then just having the candidates there to listen to those stories and reflect on them, and then just answer one accountability question, you know, will you commit to a poverty reduction plan for BC, yes or no? Because otherwise what you get is sort of a laundry list of promises and not really, you know, a direct answer to these questions. So if folks want to hold Celebrations of Humanity in their neighborhood in Vancouver or in communities around the province, we'll have support for that. We're also doing some get out the vote work, so really hoping that the poor vote effectively. You know, that's a lot of people. That's a big voting mass if people come out, so people can volunteer and help us with that work. We've got a speaker series where we're actually going to bring in someone from Newfoundland and Labrador to speak about their success and help push us along the way. So that's happening in April, and before that, one in March, with folks like Tamara Ruman from Van City and Janet Austin from YWCA, talking about what prosperity for all means for us here in BC, and hopefully, you know, encouraging people to think that prosperity for all actually means a poverty reduction plan for all. So we've got lots going on. It's all on our website, and people can check it out at bcpovertyreduction.ca.
It's very encouraging to hear what they did in Newfoundland. I hope we bring that success here to BC. Thanks very much for speaking with me today, Trish.
Thanks so much.
Trish Garner is a community organizer for the BC Poverty Coalition. And for more information, you can also visit their website, their main website, bcpovertycoalition.ca.